Blackfin Webb
Designs for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you this day through Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you hearing Him. Does the Holy Spirit actually speak with us? Does He communicate with us? Does He talk with us, to you and to me personally? Does He communicate with you? And do you hear Him when He speaks? Are you receiving what He has to say? Wouldn't that be great if all through your life, through all of the ups and downs, the good parts and the really hard parts, that you had someone with you, God, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit Himself, to speak with you all the way, to comfort you along the way, to counsel you, to convict you when you're wrong, to correct your paths, to encourage you and point you all the way in Christ, all the way into the kingdom? Well, today, let's talk about the Holy Spirit. And does He actually speak to you personally? And do you hear Him? And how can we hear Him better if we don't hear Him as much as we want today? Let's talk about hearing the Holy Spirit speak and His words to us today. Now, first of all, as we talk about that, let's lead up to it by asking this question. Who was Jesus when He came here 2,000 years ago and appeared in the flesh? 100% God? Who says amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. So when He came, He was 100% God with us, Emmanuel. He's also 100% man, amen?
Yes.
Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Now we also know this about Jesus when He came in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So Jesus is a Wonderful Counselor, the second person of the Trinity with us, Counselor. Say the word Counselor.
Counselor.
If you look at that word in the Greek New Testament, Counselor, when that comes up, is the word Paraclete, which means He's a Counselor, a Comforter, a Guide, convictor of our wrongdoings to point us and encourage us in the right way. It means someone who comes alongside of you and never leaves you. Ultimately, you could say, a friend. Did Jesus speak with us face to face? Yes, He did. But what did He say about the Holy Spirit? When He's about to go to the cross and up to God, "I'll no longer talk much with you," He said to the disciples. "Now I'm going to Him who sent me. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." So who's the Holy Spirit, Mike? He is another Counselor. He's another Paraclete in the Greek. Like Jesus, but He's the third person of the Trinity. To be with you forever and to be in you forever, to speak to you as a Counselor, as a Comforter, as a guide, a teacher, as one who comes alongside of you and never leaves you, and as an encourager, as a friend. So in Jesus Christ, we have a Paraclete. In the Holy Spirit, we have a Paraclete, the Wonderful Counselor. Now, do you have the Holy Spirit today?
Yes.
How do you get Him? Well, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit giving you faith, but did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith, says Paul in Galatians 3. So you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe in Christ, by hearing with faith, and at baptism. "For repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ," says Peter at Pentecost, "for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So do you have the Holy Spirit today? If you're a saved, believing Christian, you do have the Holy Spirit, the Wonderful Counselor, the Counselor to be with you personally forever, to counsel you, to comfort you, to correct you, to confirm you, to advocate for you, to encourage you, the friend. Next question, though. Does the Holy Spirit, though, actually speak to you in your life and to me? Well, let's put it this way. How could he counsel you, comfort you, and encourage you if he didn't speak? Amen? You ever go to a counselor like, oh my goodness, I have all these problems in my life, and you go and you talk with your counselor and he just sits there and stares at you? Obviously, no. Counselor is going to counsel. And to counsel, he's got to speak. The Holy Spirit does speak to you and to me. How could he do his job if he didn't? What's his job? Is to counsel you in Christ, to confirm the scripture promises to you, to comfort you in life's ways, to correct you if you're going the wrong way, to point you in the right, and to encourage you in Christ all the way into the kingdom. God has sent him to be the one who stands alongside you forever to make sure you get where God wants you to be, the eternal kingdom of the everlasting glory of our Lord Jesus at his return. Okay. Does he speak to you? Jesus said to the disciples, I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Say those words. He will speak. He speaks. And he will declare to you, Jesus says, the things that are to come. So he speaks, he declares, he communicates with you. But the next question is, but do you hear him? Do you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you throughout your life? Do you perceive him talking with you? Well, he is always talking to you. Or sometimes he has a little silence as he's working with us, but he is always broadcasting to you. But we don't always necessarily tune into him. And I got this little radio over here. What do you have to do to get this thing to speak or to hear something from it? First of all, you plug it in, you get saved, right? Yeah. You have the Holy Spirit. But even if it's plugged in and you're on, you've got to do what? You've got to tune it to the proper frequency, put up your ears, and listen. Otherwise, you're not going to hear anything, right? You do hear the Holy Spirit. But to hear him better, we've got to make sure we're on. There's something we need to do is actually pay attention and listen to him and tune into the right frequencies. In other words, the different ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us as he tells us how he does so in Scripture. So for the rest of the sermon, let's take a look. How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? On what frequency? So that you can then, knowing that, tune into him the better and hear him the more, that you might be greater encouraged and comforted and helped in your life in Christ. So, seven ways, briefly but powerfully, that's the rest of the sermon. Number one way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and to me is by the Holy Scriptures, the written word, this book. Let's open and read that. Okay, it's 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, says Paul, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this book is God-breathed, inspired. The word in the Greek is theopneustos, which means God, theopneustos, breathed. Actually, the word for Holy Spirit is pneuma, so it's Spirit-breathed. This book is the Holy Spirit's words. He inspired the Scriptures to be written. He's the author. Peter says, no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. If you read over here in Hebrews chapter 3, the author there says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, and then he proceeds to quote the Scripture. So, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, how many of you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Open the book. He's got it on. Just tune in to the right frequency, which is the Word of God. He speaks to us through the words that he has inspired and breathed out that we might hear him. Jesus says Scripture can't be broken. Jesus also says it's the one thing needful. Moses says it's no trifle. It's your very life. Psalm 119 says, it's forever firmly fixed in the heavens. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you through this book. Has he spoken to me recently? Well, he speaks to me all the time through here, if I'll get tuned into it. Sometimes I'm tuned into my phone or tuned into something else or tuned into the TV. How are you going to hear the Holy Spirit speak if you're not tuned into the book? So open the book and you read it. What do I hear? Well, like this week, well, let's say yesterday, I was a little tired, didn't know if I should work for the day a little bit or take the day off. I was tired. I opened up to Isaiah 30, I think it was. In returning in rest, thou shalt be saved. In quietness and trust shall be thy strength. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Was that just an accident I opened to that one? Well, what did I do? I started to work a little bit and I realized I'm way too tired for this. And the words came again to my mind, in returning and rest you shall be saved, Greg. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength, Greg. Speaking to me personally. So I started to work. I realized it wasn't working. I said, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. You're right. And I said, I'm not doing any other work today. I came here and rested, just laid down in the quiet and closed my eyes and laid into the Savior's arms, and it restored my strength. God speaks to you by the word all the time. I mean, sometimes I wonder, God, what about my standing with you? Am I right with you? And he directs me to Romans 8. There's no condemnation, Greg, for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God, what about the law? I've not kept the law. Well, you're not under the law, but under grace, Romans 6. But God, what about the sins of my youth? I remember those. I don't like that I ever did such things. Well, if anyone is in Christ, Greg, he's a new creation. The old's passed away. Behold, the new has come. Return to the joy of your salvation. God, are you for me or are you against me? And this one I often ask. He directs me to Psalm 56. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, I will trust and not be afraid. What can man do to me? This I know, that God is for me. Thus says the Holy Spirit to me by the Scriptures. Do you need kind of encouragement like that? Open the book, get off the phone, come on. The phone's not, unless the phone, you can listen to the Scriptures on the phone. Usually that's not what we do. We watch people surfing and boxing with kangaroos in Australia. Okay, so get off the phone that's not talking to you. Tune into the Holy Spirit. He's going to speak to you by his book, by his word. And if you have to use the phone, let it read to you Scripture. It'll do that too. The Holy Spirit speaks to you by it. And in all these things, he says this, 2 Timothy 3, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He uses this book. The purpose is to keep you in Christ, to increase your faith, confirm and encourage you until the day you see your Father above and enter into the kingdom of glory everlasting with joy. So, number one way is by the Scriptures. He speaks to us. What's another way? Second way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, tune into the frequency, by true preachers who preach the words that are written in this book. Hopefully, I'm one of those. Pray for me to give you Jesus Christ and preach his word. We need to hear the word sometimes not just written, but preached. Let's read it. Over here in Romans chapter 10, Paul says, in Romans 10 verse 13 and following, says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, but how are men to call upon him in whom they've not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? So faith comes from what's heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. In my early 20s, I had the Bible. Okay, as a young man, I read the Bible, but I didn't understand a lot of the Bible. God had to send me a true preacher and true evangelist, Christians, to expound the Scriptures to me, to unfold them to me, to proclaim them to me so that I understood them. Because guess what? I was going into, as you know, some Native American mysticism at the time, Eastern readings, New Age books, thinking they were Christian. They weren't. I was going into a dark path. God sent me true preachers, the Holy Spirit, to speak with me through people like Bill Wallace, who is the man who drew that picture out there of the resurrection. My car broke down about a quarter mile from his house. Beth was with me at the time, just my girlfriend, not my wife at the time. She said, I know a guy back here I want to introduce you to, Bill Wallace. He walked me through his Christian art gallery, which went from creation to Moses to Christ to the cross to the resurrection, and he explained to me the gospel like I'd never heard it before. And shortly thereafter, I repented, came to Christ, and it's never been the same since. It's been fantastic to walk with Christ. But I needed a true preacher. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking to me? He speaks to us through true Christians, true preachers, true evangelists. If you're wondering the right way to go in life, talk with your Christian brothers and sisters. Get their counsel. Check it according to the Word of God. Make sure it's in accordance with the book. If so, the Holy Spirit often speaks to us by these. So avail yourself of that one. Tune in. A third way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us is by the circumstances of our lives. What happens to you in your life? What happens around you? The circumstances. Let's read that one. Okay? Y'all with me? Acts 16. Because these are all come from the Bible here. This tells us the frequencies, okay? Paul and Silas, with Luke, went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking to them? Directing them, saying, this is the way that I want you to walk in? How did he do it? By closing doors, you can't go this way. By opening a door, you can go this way. Does the Holy Spirit do that with us too? He sure does. I consider when I was in my early 20s again, or no, let's say 30 or so, I was trying to decide, should I continue to be a schooner captain sailing up in Maine the rest of my life? Sounds good, right? Or should I be a pastor in a church? I remember drawing charts, you know. This is what I'd feel like this way. These are the advantages of this direction. Which way should I go? Which way did I choose, do you think? Skipper. I chose to be a skipper, exactly. I'll be a captain up in Maine, and I'll serve the Lord that way. As soon as I made that decision, 2 weeks or so later, I called up to my old job that I'd had the previous year. Hi, I'm ready to start again. Sorry, we gave your job to somebody else. Because you can't continue all the way through October, because you're only here through September, so we needed someone to go the whole year. You don't have your job. So here I am, I became a pastor. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking by the circumstances of my life? I thought I knew the right way, but he closed the door. He opened to where he wanted me to be. Now, word of caution here. Circumstances in life, it's hard to interpret sometimes what the Holy Spirit is saying, because a lot of times he leads us into hard places where he gets your back up against the wall and there's people shooting guns at you, and so to speak, and you have no way out. But he's proving and testing your faith to make it genuine. He's teaching you to trust in his saving power, that he can show forth his power to deliver and save you. So be careful when you're interpreting how the Holy Spirit is working by your circumstances, because often our interpretation can be off. But just judge it by the Word of God, bring it back to the written Word, and he does speak to us by these to show, this is my will for you, Greg. I want you to be a pastor, and here I am today. He makes known his words to us, speaks to me by my circumstances and yours too. Always for good purposes. He's not against you, friends. He's for you to get you where he wants you to go, to eternal glory. Fourthly, he also speaks to us by dreams and visions. Yes, Lutherans, we're going to talk about dreams and visions. We don't really look at that so much, do we? Like the Pentecostals. But the same passage from Acts chapter 16, the very next verse, after the Holy Spirit closed doors, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Has God ever spoken to you by a vision or a dream? You know, we don't really seek those things, but we do hear the Holy Spirit talks that way. In the last days it shall be, God declares, said Peter at Pentecost, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. You ever had a vision, a dream? You know, it's not happened to us a whole lot, but I know in Beth's life, my wife, some years before we were married, I was up in Maine, and she'd met me, and she thought I was a wonderful guy, right? But I was leaving for the season to go on another ship, and Maine never returned to Maine. And she thought, she prayed to God one night by her bed. She's like, I'll never see Greg again. I'll never meet anybody like him ever again. And she said a vision popped into her mind, a picture of me kneeling. She was on a park bench with green grass all around us, and I was proposing to her. And her first thought was, how cruel, oh God, to have such a picture. I'll never see him again. Why tantalize me with such a picture? Well, about 2 years later, we were on a park bench. My ship had come into Newport, Rhode Island. She visited me from Cape Cod, and God had to throw me into it. I wasn't even ready for it. He just said, now, and I... Before I even knew what I was saying, I asked her to marry me. God has to make things, I'm too cautious, so God has to throw me into these things. And she said, it would be an honor to be with you, Greg. And then I said, wait, I'm not doing this right. I need to get down on my knees and propose to you officially the right way. And I did, and she said yes. And then sometime a little later after that, she's like, oh my goodness, that was the exact picture I had 2 years ago. A park bench, green grass all around, Greg proposing to me. And it came true. Was that the Holy Spirit giving her an encouragement in a time when she thought she'd never see me again? Yeah. And look who she got. No. Look who she got, yeah. Grace, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, right? Okay, so dreams and visions. Number five, speaking of green grass, he also speaks to us, says the scripture, by creation. By the created order, by nature. Is that true? Yeah, I mean, look at what Jesus says. Consider the fig tree. Learn its lesson. As soon as it puts forth its branches, you know that summer is near. So when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Fig trees, Jesus said, say, have lessons for you about the coming of the Lord. Consider the ravens, the birds. They're not worried. They're not anxiously gathering and storing into barns. Yet God feeds them. He's going to take care of you too, Jesus says, Luke 12. Psalm 19, the stars talk and preach. The Holy Spirit does through them. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day, it's pouring forth speech. The Holy Spirit says, look, see, there is a God. He created all this majesty. Worship him. Last week, I talked to you with you a story about an ant and how I believe God is working his sovereign will while we make our decisions. That's a story of nature. The caterpillar, the butterfly, speaks of the resurrection, as does every seed and every green tree, how it grows up to show us that there's a new world coming after this one that we are to go after, strive for, and attain. So go into nature this week. Tune in and say, God, I see this. How great. I thank you for it. What are you saying to me through this? Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you through that, but always in accord with the book. Number six, he speaks to us by our conscience. You ever have the Holy Spirit speak to you by your conscience? Start to do something, and he's like, ah. Well, check it out. 1 Samuel 24, David was in a cave. Remember that cave, the wild goat's rocks? Saul was after him to kill him with 3,000 men of his army. David is hidden early or in the innermost parts of the cave, and Saul goes in to relieve himself, King Saul. David's men say, this is the day that God has given your enemy into your hand. Go and slay him. So David sneaks in stealthily, and he cuts off the skirt of Saul's robe. But as soon as he did, we read, afterward, David's heart smote him because he'd cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. Saul rose up, left the cave, and went his way. And then, of course, God kicks Saul out of the kingship and gives David the throne. But notice, how did the Holy Spirit speak to David in that case? He's doing something he thinks is right. He gets struck in his heart. No, this is wrong. And he turns from the evil way into the right way. Does God do that with you? He speaks to our consciences. So listen carefully to that, because sometimes we feel this is wrong. There's something fishy about this. Don't go that way. But sometimes he says, but this is right. You choose the good path and you feel bright, clear, joyfully strong. The Holy Spirit speaks to us by our consciences. One more, last of seven. The Holy Spirit also speaks to us by direct words to our hearts and puts thoughts and words into our minds. You ever have that happen to you? Well, look at Acts chapter 8. We read here of the story of Philip, verse 26 and following. When an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise, go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, a desert road." And he goes down there and he sees a guy in a chariot from Ethiopia. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah. And we read, "The Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "said to Philip, go up and join this chariot." Now that's not a word to every Christian who's ever lived, right? It's a word to Philip, direct. "Philip, I want you to go join this chariot." He gets up into the chariot. What are you reading? Isaiah 53. "Do you understand this?" "No, I don't," says the guy. He explains it, preaches Jesus Christ. The guy gets saved that very afternoon or morning. So the Holy Spirit speaks to your mind sometimes, or into your heart, a word for your direction, for your comfort, for your correction, or for your encouragement. And I'll share this story about myself that, you know, we've had a flood at our house, and some months ago I was very concerned. I was like, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to pay for all this stuff? And the insurance company's not doing anything. And I remember going out at night one night and seeing the stars and saying, "God, the friends that I graduated high school with, they've stored up all this stuff. They're retiring. I haven't stored up anything. I'm 55. I haven't stored up anything." And I was feeling kind of like a little bad about that. And you know what I heard the Holy Spirit say as I looked up at the stars? This one phrase: "Who told you to store up?" And that was it. But I just started laughing, because it totally dismantled my sinful thoughts I was having and completely encouraged and confirmed me again in the truths of Scriptures, which is, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. What do you do that for? Moth and rust consume there, thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves, Greg, treasures in heaven, like you are doing, where neither moth nor rust consume and thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. One simple question from the Lord: who told you to store up? And I just started laughing, and I came back to my senses and was confirmed in the road of Christ and the right way to go. So he speaks to us by direct words to our hearts and minds, but always check it by the written word, that it's in accordance with the truths of his book. All right, you good? So the last thing I'll say then today in conclusion is, let's just be thankful today that you have someone with you. Your whole life that God has given you, his own Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to be your advocate alongside of you forever, in you forever, to counsel you, to comfort you, to correct you, to guide you, to encourage you in Jesus all the way into the everlasting kingdom of the world to come, which is what he's going to do. He'll bring you there. Isaiah 30, "Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teacher will not hide himself anymore. Your eyes will see your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left." Amen.